the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Continuing his thoughts inspired by horticulture, in this recording Dave looks into being planted. The main reading is John chapter 15.
Abiding, resting, settling. We've been looking at the last few weeks of our gardens, agriculture, horticulture. Of course, started off in the garden, didn't it? And I was sin and was one in the garden, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. And we looked at roots, getting rid of the roots, rooting down that things that shouldn't be there, putting roots in that should be there, rooted into Christ. And last week we talked about sowing and reaping, the creational principle, which is a spiritual principle. You will reap what you sow. That's why we said be careful how you sow, what you sow, where you sow. We looked at the ground, and we look at that in a minute as well. The soil is our department. The seed is the word of God. And of course, be careful, because we put other seeds in, we know that. But if we put the word in, we've got to make sure the soil is good as well. So that's where we let the word chew it up, plough it up, get into the presence of God. We read that verse from Hosea. Plough up the unploughed ground, the fallow ground. How do we do that? Seek the Lord. And tonight we're looking at planted, grounded, rooted, planted in the Lord, planted by the Lord. And it's a couple of interesting verses we'll come across in a minute. We could be planted by the Lord, yet still fail. That's interesting. But ultimately, what the Lord is looking at is who's planted and where it's planted. Because sometimes it can appear well, but not always. Don't look at the appearances, as the Lord says. He sees the root. He sees the heart of the issue. How about these verses from Psalm 37?
Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found.
So, and one thing we think, God, look at that, that's marvellous, marvellous. But it's just temporary. It's not substantial. There's no real. Wasn't planted by the Lord. It can be planted. And sometimes we can get wooed, can't we, by the world and the glamour. And sadly, that's entered the church. And we look at this and that, and we think, wait a minute, now that's nothing to do with the Lord. But sadly, that's crept in. And I just crept into Britain, but certainly in the US, you can see that. So the appearance, but the Lord says, no, what I plant. But even if I plant, be very careful how you look after the plant. Be careful how you look after the soil. Jeremiah is full of these pictures. Let's read one of them. Jeremiah 2.
Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou sayest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wandereth playing the harlot. Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God.
I planted you, a righteous seed, a holy, but you've degenerated, you've withered, you've withered away. Why did you wither? Because you turned from me. You turned to other gods. And when idolatry always leads to what we call apostasy, where we turn from God. It's a turning away from the Lord. And sadly, even though the external may be there, because remember he was saying, you're washing. Everything was external, like the Pharisees. Look good, but nothing substantial. He said, but your iniquity is before me. What he said, you've actually not acknowledged it, dealt with it. And that's a real problem. Maybe, and we've got to really, again, remind ourselves of openness, honesty, confession, repentance in our lives, because we can love to deal with the externals, can't we? But we don't want to really deal with the particulars. And sometimes we can say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Very good. But let's be particular. Lord, forgive me for my anger, for my lust, for my greed. Be very particular. Because, you know, that generalization sometimes can give us a cop-out. And sadly, if we're not careful, the plant that God's put in us can rot and decay and won't be any good for anything. And it's a familiar pattern. Jeremiah 11 says, I planted you, but now it's destroyed because, again, you've turned to evil and to idolatry. You've put someone or something in my place. And, of course, what that always leads is way down the line. Same thing with Jeremiah 12. He says, yes, your lips are there. Oh, your lips are all for it. Yes, yes, yes. He said, but I see your life. I see your life. And now, again, some of us have been in church all our life. We got all the right words, haven't we? I got all the right words. I can tell you what you want to hear and how you want to hear it. But the Lord sees the heart and he sees our life. And he sees what goes on in secret. And that's the most important. So being planted, yes, we can be planted by the Lord, and that's important, and he does. But be careful. Are we watch the soil? Are we continually abide in him? What did we just read? If you abide in him, you will bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, lasting fruit. If you don't, you're in trouble. Because remember, we are not the root. We gather everything we have from the Lord. That's what he's saying, really, isn't it? We can do nothing of ourselves. Without him, we are lost. So we need to stay in him. We need to continually abide in him. Here's the verses then, lovely verses, where God plants us. God is the one who puts us into the ground and puts us into himself. You read it the other Sunday morning. In Christ. So important. So Isaiah 61.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Now, in other versions, it gets to the root. It says trees of the Lord. It means trees of righteousness. It means an oak, terebinth, an oak. I like that. Because an oak tells me straight away that's solid, that's lasting, that's durable, strength, and nothing's going to shift it, is it? It's going to be there. And that's the anointing of the Messiah, of course. I've come to joy, anointing, bind up the brokenhearted, all things new, all things, and to plant you, to planting of the Lord. Why? So he is glorified. Righteousness, yes. Planting of the Lord, so he is glorified. Oak, an oak, well, it was an oak, strong, durable, long-lasting. Doesn't warp, even in when exposed to strong sunlight. As what they said, a high composite of tannin, which stops insects and resists rotting. It's lasting. And when God plants us, he plants us for righteousness' sake, to glorify him. That we are planted and we are solid and sure, again, if we stay in him. And that's what God wants, isn't it? For us, again, we just talked about a young man who got killed yesterday. Standing strong and declaring, even amidst, you know, that's what God longs to see in his church in these last days. Sadly, we have diverted and we've wandered and we've allowed the world to squeeze us and infiltrate and change our thinking, change our whole demeanor, where the Bible says stand, and we're just going to talk about it. When we talk about being planted, it's firm, it's secure, it's set, it's established, it's growth and it's fruitfulness, because we're in him. So there's the planting of the Lord. Yeah, here we are. Isn't it amazing how God can use, you know, God can use anyone. Isn't that good news? This is Numbers 24, and this is Balaam. I love the story of Balaam. Makes me chuckle. It makes me cry as well, because Balaam had everything, but he because of money, greed, he lost it all. But even there, God used a donkey.
Yeah.
If God can use a donkey, we're okay, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're okay. But this is his third prophecy. Listen to what he says here. Numbers 2 to 6.
And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. Then he took up the oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters.
Again, from the mouth of Balaam, he said, this is who you are. A planting of the Lord, aloe and cedars. We'll come to cedar in a minute, but aloe. At one point, I'd written about aloe, you know, aloe vera and that kind of thing. It's not quite that genus, but it's a beautiful plant. Fragrant, perfume, expensive, incense, and that's a lovely picture again, isn't it? What does the Bible say? We are the fragrance of Christ.
Yeah.
Beautiful picture of you are the planting of the Lord, what to bring my fragrance, a fragrance, incense to the Lord. It doesn't grow very much. I think, I remember reading, I'm not sure, should have written it down because I've been reading this week. Good in drought, good in waterless places, strong, you know, and that kind of idea again, when God plants, the beauty of the Lord comes, the fragrance of the Lord comes to those around us. How do we need that, don't we, in these last days? Mm-hmm. Salt and light and the fragrance of the Lord. And now, he said, now 2 Corinthians says, the fragrance of death sometimes. Mm-hmm. Life and death. But, you know, as we heard again, sometimes the gospel, of course, the gospel does. It does. Of course it offends us. Because I'm calling you a sinner. I'm a sinner. We don't like that. I'm pretty good, isn't I? I always compare myself to the worst, of course. But that's what the Bible... But we are the fragrance of because we are planted in him and on him. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, 1 to 5.
Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jezurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel.
Again, planting of the Lord, different tree, willow. Interesting about willows, they usually find down by the streams and with lots of water. And but they don't get overwhelmed. I like that. Don't get overwhelmed with the water, which is interesting because some plants do, don't they? You can't overwater them or they'll kill them off. But not the willow. It is strong, adaptable. Willow talks about water, obviously, life renewal. Also, if you look at the look back in Leviticus 23, when we talk about the feasts and the festivals, in the Feast of Tabernacles, we have four species of trees for the festivities, for the joy and celebration, and one is a willow. One is a willow to bring, again, to remind us of joy, thanksgiving, and renewal. God renews us. And interesting that even though the torrents come, we're not overwhelmed. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Whether there's drought, we'll see in a moment, God provides and protects us, holds us. And when there's torrents, and then when there's hurricanes, and then when there's torrential rain and that, not overwhelmed. But that's the Bible. What does the Bible say? When you go through the fire, when you go through the river, I will be with you. I will be there. And so, again, another picture of what God does with us, plants us, and reproduces different things in our lives. Hosea 14.
I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the corn. He will blossom like the vine. And his fame will be like the vine, the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them.
And that's his final words, Isaiah. We know the book of Isaiah is a real interesting one. And talk about living out the word of God. That's a real work of living out of the word of God, literally. But again, right at the end, he said, I will heal your backslidings. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we know so many like that, the promise is there. And the promise then said, I will heal you, and you will then blossom like a lily. Aha. What did he say? Solomon in all his glory. He said, look at the lilies. Look at the lilies. I don't know if they maybe similar genus to ours, but lilies are nice, although some people don't like them anymore. Jackie used to like them. She don't like them anymore. Jackie's mother don't like them. Of course, they're deaf, and they look quite, I think they're quite nice. What's that? I think that. Jackie used to like them all the time. Perhaps I bought too many, that's probably. But she didn't like them after so many. Yeah, probably that was it. Yeah, I go with that. No.
There's an Aaron lily, and there's the
ordinary
lily.
Yeah, well, I think there's probably tons of lilies, I suppose. I don't want this, but he will blossom like a lily.
One is the Aaron lily, isn't it?
So you will blossom. Ah, bless the Lord. That's the splendor of God, and they can take our brokenness, heal it back, and blossom like a lily, like a cedar. Oh, and the splendor of an olive. And this is what he says at the end. The righteous will understand this and walk in his ways. And if we walk in his ways, the blossom, splendor, the glory that God can put into us will be seen. Bless the Lord. That's wonderful. We know these verses, and they are absolutely vital to, again, understand, because when we work them in, we can live out and be planted, rooted, grounded, and fruitful. Psalm 1:1-3.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornfuls, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he is meditates. Day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Well, those verses we used to learn in Sunday school, didn't we? But to apply them is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man who does not walk, sit, or stand. That's a whole life and lifestyle is to the Lord, not to what the world says. His life, his love, his delight, his business, his purpose, his pleasure, his pursuit is what? The law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And he meditates, he regurgitates. We know what meditation means, chewing the cud, didn't it? Chew it, swallow it, bring it back up, have another go, didn't it? I've looked at meditation. It's about 3 or 4 times a cow has another go, and he takes it down, has another go. And let me tell you, the word of God's like that. Some of us have been reading God's word for many years, and we've read the verse umpteen times. And then sometimes we come across it and think, oh, the Lord does speak, doesn't he? He takes that verse and applies it for that particular situation. But that's his life, that's his love. Here's the result. He is planted. These next three verses, it's not just planted, it means transplanted.
Mm.
You know what that means, isn't it? Taken from one place, put in a different place. Transplanted by the rivers of water. Yields fruit in season, his leaf doesn't wither, and what he does prospers, which means there's a progression. That's what it means. There's a putting forward, a profitability, a fruitfulness. How do we stay planted? We listen to the Lord. Yeah. Our love, our life and our love is him and his word. And we are just trying to live it out. We're meditating on it. We're allowing God's word to rush over us, flood over us. And in that, we're planted, transplanted into him and by the rivers of water, rivers of living water, of course. Jeremiah 17.
This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. It will not see prosperity, and it comes, and when it comes, it will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water, and send out their roots by the streams. It does not fear when it comes. It leaves green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit.
Wow. Again, very clear. Cursed is the man who trusts in himself or in man. Listen to that verse 5. We were talking about the heart of the last week. His heart has turned from the Lord. There's the heart of the issue. There's the root of the issue. Where is our heart? And if our heart is in his hands, if our heart is in the Lord, but his heart has turned away. And what does he become? He withers. He dies. He's dried up. But blessed is the man who takes refuge, takes trust in the Lord. His security is in the Lord. Our confidence is in him. What do we have? We bear fruit. No fear and no worry. Bless the Lord. And that's wonderful, isn't it? And of course, those worries, those anxious thoughts are what? What does the sower parable tell you? Those anxieties are thorns. Thorns, the worries, anxieties will always choke God's word in your God's word and his work in your life. So we don't worry about this. Worry. And of course, sometimes we can have many of those. And we've got to be careful, root them out, trust in the Lord, confidence in him, planted by the rivers, extended. So even in the year of drought, we will never cease to bear fruit. Bless the Lord. Psalm 92.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age.
Yeah.
They shall be fresh and flourishing,
yeah,
to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Again, his word, his ways, his will. Bless the Lord, trust in him, rely upon, confidence in him, and now in him, in the fellowship, in the house, with his people, planted in the house. And again, that has crept in, isn't it? The lack of understanding what church means, what fellowship means, what the body means, that people think they can function and really be a Christian outside the body. That's a lie from the pit. That is really a lie. Now, we can be saved, but we can trust in the Lord, of course, and be saved, but to actually live the life and to function and be obedient to what the Lord says and to flourish and bear fruit, we have to be in the house and planted in the house. Now, here we are. Flourish and blossom first at the palm tree. That's an interesting tree, isn't it? That can live in the desert. Live in the desert. Ah. And if you've ever been to the desert, what an awful, barren place that is. I've been to the desert once, 45 degrees it was at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And looking around, thinking there's not much happening here, is it? But it's barren, but the palm tree can survive there. It can grow up to nearly 90 foot tall, takes a few decades to mature, but can last hundreds of years. As we know, it is so flexible and strong, it can be blown right over, can't it? Nearly to 90 degrees, but then comes back and is stronger after. Mm. Ah, that's a good picture. Mm. Sometimes we feel a breaking point with circumstances and difficulties, but if we trust in him, we are rooted and grounded in him, we come back stronger and able then to share that with other people. I know exactly what you're going through, and this is what happened to me. How did I cope? How did I manage? How did I survive? It was because I was in the Lord, planted in the Lord. Of course, we know it, palms, victory, praise, lots of different things. It can be used for roofing, top of it, cord for rope. But just a wonderful tree with many practical uses, just bringing praise to God. Flourish like a palm tree, like a palm tree. Cedar of Lebanon. Well, these are an amazing tree. Evergreen, of course, but one of the only trees that live in high altitude. Over 3,000 feet, even up to 7,000 feet, which takes some doing, can go up to 100 foot tall, big diameters of 9 feet, big trees. Great for building because they are strong, slow to decay, and knotted. And they also, again, we talked about the oak, gives off a fragrance that repels insects. Now, one of the names for the devil, is, as we know, is Beelzebub, isn't it? Lord of the flies. And there's one thing we want is to repel those insects, him. And what he said, again, he doesn't choose these trees willy-nilly, does he? He chose these particular, you will be like a cedar, strong, even at high altitude, even where it's so high there, you think, what am I doing here? You'll survive, you'll be strong, useful. But that fragrance that comes from me because you're rooted in me will repel the work of the enemy. The Bible says, submit to the Lord. Resist the devil. What's he going to do? He's got to go, hasn't he? Now give him a foothold. He'll make it a stronghold. But rooted in him, it repels. It repels. Because why? Because that's what the Lord said. And he said, in the house you'll flourish. In the courts of the Lord, bless the Lord. Fruit in old age. Got nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with that, is it? The Bible wants us to bear fruit right up until we go home to glory. It was Bonnke, wasn't it, who said... I think it was his son-in-law. Son said to him, Dad, are you going to slow down before you die? Like, he said, no. He said, the plane accelerates just before it takes off. He said, accelerates. And of course, Bonnke's in glory now, isn't he? And he didn't slow down. Even when he had cancer, he was still preaching. And so we don't slow down, do we? In that sense, we're bearing fruit even in old age. It's work for us to be done. Rich and fertile and fruitful, bless the Lord. Psalm 52.
Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at you, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth, and grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people. And I will hope in your name, for your name is good.
Again, he says, look, you can see before those who have not trusted in me, those who trusted in themselves, their wealth, and you see that. See it before your eyes. They've gone, they've finished, they decayed. But you, those who trust in the Lord, who make him their refuge, who trust in his unfailing love, trust his hesed, who praise, again, the word, our word's powerful, who wait on the Lord, again, that word, wait. Talked about before, means to bind by twisting, like a rope, you know, understand? So you're twisting. So when it's bound, it is bound. It's not going to be broken. And he said, wait upon the Lord. That means to bind to him. And he said, you'll be like an olive tree. Now, what's an olive tree? I always remember going to, I want to go back, but I don't know when that'll be. Might be the millennium, probably, to Israel. And I always remember we went into the garden of Gethsemane, and there were olive trees there, and they said, you know, these mature olive trees, he said, were probably little trees, little saplings when Jesus was here. And I thought, wow, that was survived, because they last, they grow, and they hardwood last thousands of years, they tell us. They can bear fruit for hundreds of years, And of course, olive oil, which is some there, olive oil, but yeah, what does an olive tree represent? Strength, blessing, anointing, light. Oh, and all that olives and olive oil should be drinking a bit more, I think. Does for you, good for you. But that's what he said, you will be an olive tree, strong, steadfast, fruitful, hallelujah, flourishing where? Again, in the family of God, in the house of God, because you trust in him forever and ever, you praise, hope is in him, we are waiting on him, and that's the power of binding to him, holding fast to him. Use those verses we know again to put in our memory many years ago, Isaiah 40, 25 to 31.
To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his power. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Amen. He said, look up. See what you're dealing with now. Dealing with our God. He said, look at them stars. He said, he knows them. He knows them by name. Sometimes we're so fickle, aren't we? We bring God down to our level. We minimize him. That's why he always tells them, get a look up. And we understand the vastness now and the majesty and the magnificence of the universe. He said, look at those. I spoke them. I named them. Now, come. You want strength? You want power? You want to run? You want to fly? You want to walk? Bind yourself to me. Wait, same word, bind by twisting. Wait on the Lord. Rest in me. Put your whole life into my hands. Bless the Lord. James 5, 7-11.
Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets, who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful.
Amen. Be patient. The word there means to be long-suffering or to suffer long. Now, we don't like that. You'll be taught it here, but if we go to other churches, you may not have been taught that. When you become a Christian, everything is wonderful, magnificent. Never any more troubles in your life. That's not what the Bible tells us. In fact, the Bible says you probably got a lot more because the enemy started you into a battle now. But he said, look, be patient. Suffer long because it's temporary. We don't see it like that, but it is. Into eternity in a moment, as we've seen over the last few days, you can be into eternity in a moment, isn't it? And that's the key. Persevere, establish, set fast, be strengthened, confirm. What is he telling us to confirm? Again, confirm, establish your heart. Again, it's always the heart, isn't it? Making sure our heart is in the right place with the right person, in his hands. Establish that. And then, of course, he goes on. He said, don't grumble. What do we do when we suffer, when we're having difficulties? If our heart isn't in the hands, we grumble, don't we? And in fact, he said, don't grumble against one another. And it's easy to do that because we always find someone to blame, someone to, we deflect, don't we? What do you say? That's why I got married for, someone to blame. And then, Well, if you're on your own, you're in trouble. You're got no one to blame anymore. But we're quick to do that. But he said, don't grumble. And he says, no. He said, thankfully, he said, you've got some examples here, haven't you? Some great examples of prophets and men of old who persevered. And he names one, the patience of Job. I just nearly come to the end of Job as I'm reading this week. And well. Dear me. He lost everything. What did he lose everything apart from his wife and a few servants? And whether the servants stayed around when they realised he had nothing, I don't know. But he lost everything. Now that takes some doing. But the Bible says he praised the Lord. He got his, Lord, you've given and you've taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wonderful. That he suffered long. It wasn't long in time, but he suffered a lot. And then his friends came. And they started off okay, didn't they? They didn't say much. And then they ramped it up to the point where they said, you must be sinning in your life. You were wicked. And then the young upstart, I don't know what he was talking about. He just mumbled on a bit. And then the Lord breaks in. And so is this, who darkens my car. Stand up now, Job, like a man. Let's have a little chat. Wonderful. But the patience of Job and the end result. The end result, God restored, provided, protected. And that's a great story. When we are thinking we're going through it, that's where we've got the Word of God and examples, haven't we? That's where we read Paul and we think, I haven't gone through that. I've been to prison, I've been beaten, I've been stoned, I haven't done any of those, been through all those things. So there are our examples. And of course, we read this the other day, which is wonderful verses, to be rooted, grounded, walk in him, loving him, established in him. That's so key for our growth and our fruitfulness. Colossians 2.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through folly and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority.
Amen. Receive by faith, but then walk in him and with him. Same direction, close proximity, we're walking with him, aren't we? And wonderful, he wants to walk with us. That's amazing. Even when we veer off, he's saying, come back this way, Dave, come back this way. He'll wait. Sometimes he's got to wait a long time, I know, sadly, until we come back. But wonderful tonight. Again, planted by the Lord, but all to stay planted, to stay rooted, to be fruitful. His word, his people, our praise, our faith, our obedience, all of him, looking to him, relying on him. And we, again, will be whatever he wants us to be, whether he wants us to be a cedar, an oak, hallelujah, an olive tree, a lily. Bless the Lord, careful. Whatever, just to bear fruit and glorify him. Hey, hallelujah. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.